This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. On September 11th, 2001, Carlton Fife, a young businessman, husband, and father, boarded American Airlines Flight 11 in Boston, bound for Los Angeles. When hijackers crashed the plane into the North Tower of the World Trade Center, Fife perished with all on board and became one of the nearly 3,000 victims of the 9/11 attacks.
Carlton Fife left behind an 18-month-old son, Jackson, and his wife and high school sweetheart, Haven, who just learned that she was pregnant with their second son, Parker. 10 years later, Haven Fife Kiernan, a psychotherapist from Newton, has remarried and recovered from that terrible grief. We talked to her recently about 9/11, about her sons, about how they're still coming to terms with what happened to their father, and about what her life was like 10 years ago before everything changed.
On Sunday morning, September 9th, we found out that I was pregnant with Parker, my second, and we were really excited, and we spent that day celebrating, and that was Sunday.
Now, if you don't mind, we all have memories of where we were on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you? How did you find out about what happened? Bring us back to that day.
Yeah, so I was actually at home with my son, Jackson, and my mom was in town visiting from North Carolina, and I was making my bed with the Today Show, and you could sort of see on the TV the actual impact of the plane on the building. I mean, sort of I remember kind of the camera shaking and all of that, and I did not think my husband was any part of that at the moment. But as the morning unraveled, and I don't think it took long, you know, learning that it was a plane and then learning that it was American Airlines, and then I just sort of knew, as I didn't hear from him as the morning went on, I knew that he was on that plane.
I don't think there's any way for anyone who lived through a day like that and lost a loved one to explain what it was like when you found out. I can't begin to imagine. You know, I feel fortunate that I didn't lose anyone I loved on that day. What was that day like for you when it became clear that he was on Flight 11?
Well, I mean, a part of me really died that day. You know, he and I we essentially grew up together and were very strongly connected to each other. And we were really soulmates and life partners. And truly, I felt like half of me died that day. It was devastating. It was surreal. It was shocking. It was numbing. It was terrifying.
So your son Jackson was 18 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Parker was not yet born. How did you end up talking about 9/11 to them and explaining what happened to their father?
That's still a process. 10 years later. Jackson was so young. He immediately knew his dad was gone. He's very, very intuitive and very emotionally connected to me. So even that night, he knew that Carlton was not there. And Carlton was home every night for bedtime. And he would always ask for, Jackson would say two. And that would mean he wanted his two parents to kiss him goodnight. And, you know, that night, there was just one. He, I think, very quickly knew that his dad was gone. In terms of how his dad died, you know, to this day, we're still trying to really figure out how to explain that to him, even though he knows all about it. He knows the details. He is connected to many other children who lost their parents. But it's sort of like trying to explain something that's completely unexplainable.
You must be thinking about it on two levels. I mean, you're a professional psychotherapist,
mm-hmm.
so I'm sure you've dealt with people who come to you and say, there's this tremendous grief in my life. How do I deal with it? But then
mm-hmm.
it also must be different when it's you and your kid.
Absolutely. I mean, I was a bereavement counselor before my husband died in oncology, and so I was very familiar with the issue of death and loss and early death. But when it's your own partner, it's completely different. Sometimes people ask me, well, did that help? Well, no, it didn't help to, you know, have had so much professional experience with death and loss. When it's your own, it's completely different. But in terms of my own children, it's really hard to explain, and it's really been quite a process in terms of this kind of loss.
Sure. Well, can you give me an idea about just sort of how you try to explain it to them? I mean, is this
mm-hmm.
a case of just unexplainable things that happen, bad people do bad things,
mm-hmm.
or I mean, how do you explain that to a kid?
I have a very dear friend, Deborah Rivlin, who helped us. She did our support group for the mothers of the widows of very young children. And I thought the way that she helped me to convey this to Jackson was brilliant. She gave me the words that, you know, Jackson, some very, and bear with me on this one, some very, 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 very bad people did this to your father. And she explained that to use that much emphasis on how bad these people are, because it's so huge what happened that day that it's important to convey that this really was unprecedented and probably won't happen again, but also to put into light of really how horrible it was for him. And so that's how we describe it. He wants less detail than my younger son, Parker. We sort of just go by their cues.
So Parker, the younger one, wants more details. Of course, he has absolutely no memory of this because he wasn't even born.
Right. He has his own story in this, which is that he was one of the unborn children, which he views as a very sort of special group of children to be in. And we've worked really hard to have him embrace that idea and that notion of being in a special group, because he would get very angry and very sad about and really confused about, well, was Carlton my dad? You know, I didn't know him, and so how could he be my dad? And so just recently, he's really taken to the idea that he's, in fact, part of a special group of kids who were a gift afterwards.
Wow, a gift. That's sort of a beautiful idea.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that way before he was born and then giving birth to him?
It was such a process. No. At first, I was so sad to have to carry a child on my own. I was so happy when we found out that I was pregnant. I was beside myself with happiness. But then when Carlton was gone, not even 2 days later, I just felt a tremendous sort of jip, you know, like, I can't believe I have to do this on my own. I was really angry being pregnant with my husband having been murdered.
And Haven, what was the most productive source of help during that period? Friends, family, church?
Oh, so many. I mean, my mom was immensely helpful. She moved in with me. She was incredible. Friends were amazing. I also did support groups that were organized through the 9/11 community that were immensely helpful. Fellow widows were so important for me.
And Haven, is this a community that you've stayed in touch with?
Yeah. In fact, I married the brother of one of them. So my sister-in-law is a widow as well. Our husbands were on the same plane.
Oh, my God.
And our kids are now cousins, which is really kind of remarkable.
So, Haven, 10 years have gone by. You've remarried. We often hear people talk about the need for closure and people moving beyond a tragedy like this and getting closure. Are those the right words? Is that ever possible?
Closure. I don't think that, you know, closure ever happens. And I actually, you know, in my own life and also when I work with people, I really speak strongly to the fact that we don't have to find closure, and that really what it's more about is being able to hold two sets of feelings. How important it is to be able to hold the sadness and the loss of that person while also being able to move on with the joyfulness and fullness of current life. And that's where I really stand. I mean, how my family operates now and my marriage right now, which I'm very fortunate to have yet another incredible marriage and incredible husband, is that my husband who passed away is very present in our lives and a huge part of our family, even though he's not physically with us. And I am able to hold that, you know, I've had two loves of my life and two soulmates, and he's still with me. And I don't have to feel like I have to let him go or forget him or put him somewhere else. He's still very present for me. But I can also hold all the happiness and joyfulness of what I have now.
Well, that's such an encouraging thing to hear. Now, will your family or will you personally mark the 10th anniversary in any way? Is it important to do that?
Yeah. I mean, every year is so different with how we market. And this year feels very different again. So many years have been very quiet and staying at home and sort of lighting a candle or, you know, looking through photo albums. This year, I'm not sure what it's going to look like. We're really leaving it up to the kids. We may go to New York, we may go to Boston, or we may stay home. And we've decided that we can decide that the day of.
Well, Haven Fife Kiernan, thank you so much for talking to us today. We're very, very grateful.
Sure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Haven Fife Kiernan is a psychotherapist who lives in Newton with her husband, Dan Kiernan. Her first husband, Carlton Fife, was killed on American Airlines Flight 11. And listeners, how do you explain the events of 9/11 to young people in your lives? We'll examine that question tomorrow on Radio Boston. You can go to our website now with your thoughts and ideas. That's radioboston.org.